This morning we will carry on in the book of Exodus. So take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Well, chapter 13 will begin actually at the end of chapter 13 and then go into chapter 14 in the message this morning. Some people teach and preach that when you become a Christian, life is smooth sailing. All your cares are gone and everything is just peachy and rosy and all the rest of those things. Sounds nice, but it's not reality, is it? The Bible tells us it's not reality. God doesn't give us any illusion to the fact that our life will be easy. He doesn't promise ease. He promises His presence, and He promises His power, and He promises His victory every day in our life. In Exodus chapter 12 and 13, Israel had just been delivered from the Egyptian bondage. Through those series of plagues that God brought upon Egypt, and finally Pharaoh said, go, leave, get out of here. And they left very quickly, as we know. There was the Passover, which was the culmination of those things when the firstborn of every house that did not have the blood applied, the firstborn of every household from the most poor to the most rich, from the youngest to the oldest, including even the cattle, the firstborn died along where the blood was not applied to the doorposts. And of course, the Israelites left with great wealth as well. God told them that He was going to cause the Egyptians to give them wealth. And it seems like the Egyptians were so happy to say, go, take these plagues away from us. They gave them great sums of jewels and riches and all kinds of things. What a great time it was for Israel, saved from bondage, inherited great riches, and free to serve God. Surely they must have thought, this is it. Now everything's going to be smooth. Everything's going to be great. And we're going to go straight to that promised land that God told us that He was going to give us. And that'll be great. But the journey didn't start off very easily. They may have thought that it would, but it wasn't going to be an easy journey. That journey that began with their salvation and deliverance from Egypt was not to be an easy one. They would face many trials. See, God had promised them a great land flowing with milk and honey, but He didn't promise them an easy path to get to that land. Actually, He told Moses that would be difficulties. He told Moses exactly what was going to take place. He told Moses exactly how things were going to be. And whether Moses conveyed that to the children of Israel right away or not, I don't know. But evidently, children of Israel didn't get it anyways. But they would get it. They would understand it. They would realize what was going to take place. What God did promise was His unfailing presence. What He did promise was that He would be on their side. And because of that, that they would be victorious through the battles that they would face. You say, well, that's fine and that's dandy, but how does that relate to us? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to look at this morning in the message. See, the Bible tells us that the things that happened aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So this story of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt has got great lesson for us. There's many applications for us in our life. The Bible says that those things were written so that we could learn from them. The Passover, God's deliverance of Israel from the death of the firstborn, pictures our salvation. An innocent lamb that was spotless, perfect, was slain to protect those homes from the death angel passing over. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was perfect. He died in our place. The Bible tells us that those people had to apply the blood to their doorposts. That was faith. They trusted God's plan, and they applied the blood to the doorposts of their home to indicate we trust God to deliver us in the means that He has said. And the Bible tells us that as people, we must not only know that Jesus died for us, but we must believe that He died for us and place our faith in Him. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we realize that there's a picture there of our salvation in that Passover. And then what happened right after their deliverance from Egypt? They went on a journey. They went on a path to the promised land. For us, salvation is the beginning of a path that leads to heaven. The Bible tells us that those who are born again and place their faith in Jesus Christ, the ultimate destination guaranteed is heaven. They're on their way to that place, that land that God has promised to us, that's far greater than the land that flowed with milk and honey called Canaan, because it's a perfect place. But God doesn't promise that the path along the way between here, between salvation and heaven, will be easy, but it is a carefully planned path. It is a path that He provides for us. It is a path upon which He protects us, and is a path about which will bring praise to His name. And so this morning I'd like to preach from Exodus chapter 13 and 14, a message entitled Following God's Path. Let's begin in Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. Follow along with me as I read. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that way was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Ethan, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we are thankful that we can open your word. We thank you for the truths that are found in here, that though this is a factual, historical event, Lord, it has application for us today. And I pray you'd help us to learn and glean these lessons from this portion of Scripture today, that we would be strengthened in our faith. Lord, if it be that there's anyone this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that even this morning they would realize that they need to personally trust you and accept your wonderful gift of salvation, and that for them would then begin that path that leads to that wonderful place called heaven. And so, Lord, bless this service, I pray, and speak to each heart, Christian as well, Lord, as we look to you. May we again learn from this passage of Scripture that which we need in our life. If we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to see, first of all, this morning that God planned their path. Talk about following God's path. Israel was to follow God's path. Realize that God planned the path for the children of Israel. Having saved Israel and delivered them from Egypt, He didn't just say, okay, now you're free, so find your way to Canaan. God had a planned path to get them to that promised land, that land that He had promised, that land that where the forefathers had sojourned. And He had a planned way to get them there. He planned their path from the moment they were freed from Egypt until they reached the promised land. That plan was based on His knowledge of their weakness. We read it in chapter 13 here, and we read in verses 17 and 18 that the way God led them to Canaan was not the shortest path to go. Now, if you were to look at a map of the south side of the Mediterranean there, Egypt, the Nile going into the Mediterranean Sea, you would see that if you go right along the coast, it's not that far to go from Egypt up to Canaan. But you understand that as we will get into chapter 14 this morning, that God led them across the Red Sea, that means they had to go kind of out of the way. Say, why did God do that? Because God knew that they weren't ready for what would face them if they took the short way. And so God, knowing their weaknesses, led them specifically the way that He led them. Even though the Bible says that they went up harnessed out of Egypt, that word harnessed has the indication of being their soldiers ready for war. They probably thought they were ready to face anything. But God said, no, you're not ready to face the battles that would come to you if you go by the way of the Philistines. The Philistines are going to come upon you and attack you. You're going to get discouraged and go back. So I'm not going to lead you that way. See, God's plan was based on his knowledge of their weakness. It's a wonderful thing that God has plans for our life. I'm glad to know that God has a purpose and a plan for every single person in their life. Every Christian, God has a plan for your life. His plans are not just generic. Yes, he has a general purpose and a general will for everyone to do. Everyone ought to be reading their Bible and praying and giving out the gospel and being faithful to church and giving and so on. Those are general things that God desires. And there's many things in the Bible that says this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God that you keep yourself and so on. There's all these different things, but yet there's also a specific plan that God has for our life that differs according to our who we are. But you know, God suits those plans for us and to us, knowing who we are and knowing what he desires us to do. In Psalm 103, in verse number 14, the Bible says, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are but dust. You know, when God's making those plans for us, he doesn't come up with something that he expects us to do that we cannot do in his strength, because he knows who we are. He knows our weaknesses. There are times we think we're ready for anything. How about Peter? Lord, I'm going to die with you. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, Peter, tonight, before the cock crows two times, you're going to deny me. Three times. That wasn't what Peter thought. Peter thought, no, I'm ready. I'm ready to stand for the Lord and give my very life. And many times we are the same way. But the Lord knows our weaknesses and he guides in our life and he prepares a plan for us. He gives us the milk until we're ready for some of the meat. And then he gives us more meat as we're able to bear it. Never be afraid to follow God's path for your life, because he has tailored it to fit you. His plan is based on their knowledge of his knowledge of their weakness, but his plan also included his presence. We read it in verses 21 and 22. The Bible tells us that God went before them in a pillar of cloud by day, and at night it was a pillar of fire so that they could see to illuminate their path and to illuminate their way. His presence was made known to them by that pillar. The Lord was with them day and night. You know, he never left. He never left them, not just for one moment. That pillar of cloud was always there to remind them of his presence. It gave them direction. It gave them comfort, that pillar of cloud and the presence of God. And may I say to you this morning, Christian, you too can be assured of God's presence in your life. He told the disciples when he said, I'm going to leave, but he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be with us. Said he will abide with you forever. Jesus said, or the Bible tells, in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. We can boldly say, God is with me. Say, well, how can you say that boldly? Because he promised he would be. And so his plan for them included his presence, and so it is for you and I. We need not be afraid to follow God's path, because he has promised to be with us at all times. But recognize also that his plan was based on his knowledge of their enemy. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. See what God said to Moses? Moses, your enemy's not done with you yet. He's going to keep after you. He's going to follow you. God had a plan for them that didn't avoid that situation. It wasn't oblivious to that situation. God planned their path knowing exactly what the enemy was going to think and exactly what the enemy was going to do. He knew that on that shortcut, the Philistines would be there to attack them. So he said, I'm going to send you the other way. But listen, it's not going to be free from difficulty because Pharaoh is going to chase after you. He's going to think that you're caught and he's going to try and catch you. You realize today that God sent Israel into a place where it looked like inevitably they would be caught. Remember we said at the beginning, some people say that you know, as long as you're living right, your path as a Christian will be smooth sailing. That's not what happens here, is that God said, go to this place, and it's going to look like you're caught. Now, he knew what he was going to do. He knew the plan, but God had a purpose and a plan that was based on the knowledge of the weakness of the children of Israel. It was based on the fact that he was with them, and it was based on the fact that he knew exactly what their enemy was going to do. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Somebody said. God knows everything. And he makes these plans for our life, knowing exactly what is going to take place in our life. He knows and he's told us, the world will hate you. Jesus said, marvel not that the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. He told us these things. He said, the world system will not be for you. It will not be on your side. You're going to have enemies as you follow the path that God has for you in your life. He said that there will come mockers in the last days, and they will mock the very things that you hold dear to yourself, that the Lord is coming back. People will laugh at you. People will mock at you for that. But don't be surprised, because he told us that would be the case. He knows the enemy. He knows what's going to take place. He knows that we have an enemy called Satan who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's no surprise to God. He plans our path knowing all these things about the enemy. But he also knows the victory that he will give, and he plans to give you as you follow him. But never be afraid. God has planned your path as he planned the path for Israel. Realize as well that this path was designed to bring glory to God. See, the children of Israel also needed to realize that they were a testimony of the power of God and the testimony of the presence of God. And in verse 4, at the end of the verse, it says that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Moses, I planned a path for you, knowing your weakness, knowing that I'm going to be with you, knowing the enemy's going to come about and chase after you. But I want you also to realize that this path will bring glory to me. This path will show to Egypt that I am the Lord. Now you think Egypt should have got that, wouldn't you? After all those plagues. But yet they didn't, did they? Or else they wouldn't have chased after Israel. But they followed after. And God said, listen, Moses, you got to understand. I'm putting you in this situation. I'm going to deliver you and show Egypt at the same time that I am the Lord. You know, sometimes we need to recognize in our life God has a purpose and a plan for our life to bring glory to him. And isn't that what it's supposed to do? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Sometimes we say, but this isn't fair, that my life is about me. You know, sometimes we need to look a little bit, step back. And God opens the curtain sometimes, doesn't he? As he did with the life of Job, to show us that our life is not only about us. It's about him being honored through us and in our life. When we follow God's path, we need to realize that God's plan is bigger than just us. He wants us to use us to impact the world. Is that what he says? Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to live our lives, so live our lives to desire that people would see Christ in us. And that they would see his power evidenced in our life. God very carefully planned the path for the children of Israel, and they followed that path. God planned their path, but God also provided their path. Look at verse 5. It says, and it was told the king of Israel, Egypt, that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this that we let Israel go from serving us? Why have we done this? How about those 10 plagues? Think about those for a few minutes. Why have we done this? They said. They forgot so quickly. And he made ready his chariot and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they cried and said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, ye shall hold your peace." God provided their path, and he gave them a great path of deliverance here. It says in verse 15, "The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch forth thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Get the idea that God was providing a path? There was no path there, was there? They were at the sea. There were mountains, there was wilderness, there was the Egyptians, and there was the sea. It looked like sure disaster. It looked like a dead end. It would look like somebody made a big mistake and made a wrong turn. But God provided their path. It was a new way. Nobody had ever gone through that way before. Nobody had ever crossed the Red Sea that way in the past. That's what made Pharaoh think they were trapped. You know, if there had been a bridge right there, Pharaoh would have said, "We've got to get moving quickly so we can overtake them before they get on that bridge." But there was no bridge. Nobody's ever traveled that way across the Red Sea since that time either. It was a path that God provided for them specifically to go by. God chose a path. He provided a path. It was a special path for Israel that was a new way. The Bible says that the path that leads to life is not a broad way, but it's a narrow way. It's not the path of the multitudes, but it's the path of the few. Jesus said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." See, may I remind you this morning, the path of the Christian is not the old way, it's a new way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Sometimes the way that God leads his people is not the conventional way. It's a way that doesn't make sense. Abraham, go, leave your land, and I'll tell you later where you're going. That's a new way. That's a different way. That's not the way that makes sense to us. The path of the Christian is not the same path as the world. It isn't where you once walked. It has a different design, and it has a different destination. And the path that God leads you on may not be the path traveled by many, but rest assured that where He guides, He provides, and if He's led you, He'll open up the way. That's exactly what He did here in this situation for the children of Israel. He provided their path. It was a new way, and it was a miraculous way, wasn't it? It would happen again in different circumstances, wouldn't it? When they crossed the Jordan River, God parted the water too. When Elijah went across the river, he smote the river and God parted the water. It would happen again in different circumstances. But every time it was miraculous that God opened up such a path through the water. The children of Israel thought they were doomed. They're crying out here, "Moses, why'd you bring us here to die? If we wanted to die, we could have died as slaves in Egypt. Why did you do this to us?" Moses said, just wait and see. God's got a path, and he's going to open up something here in the way. And God did a miraculous thing. Only a miracle could save them. You know, I have to think, I have to wonder, I have to scratch my head at the children of Israel. How could they see the pillar of fire, which was a pillar of fire during the night and a pillar of cloud in the day, realizing that was the very presence of God right there with them, and still think Moses brought them out there to die? But they did, didn't they? Many times in our life we fail to see the obvious presence of God in our life, and we need to realize that He is present with us and He will open up the way. God caused a great wind to wall up the sea and dry out a path for them. There have been many speculations as to whereabouts the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And if you try and find on your Bible maps and so on, you probably look at different maps and see different paths, because the places that are mentioned, nobody knows exactly where they were. All we know is God said He led them across the Red Sea and He opened up the Red Sea. There is credible evidence to indicate that where Israel crossed, though, was a raised area in the sea, almost like an underwater bridge or causeway. I don't know. There's been speculation. There's been information. Interestingly enough, the man's last name is Wyatt. Ron Wyatt was over in the east and discovered these things and found a place where the Red Sea, on the one piece of the Red Sea that goes up, that it was, there's a raised piece. And in that area, they found what would seem to be wagon wheels, chariot wheels from Egyptian chariots, encased in fossil, in shells and things at the bottom of the sea. I don't know for sure. I've never been there. I don't know. All I know is the Scripture says God opened up a way. God opened up a way. But it's a wonderful thing to think about, that God opened up the way. This was not the Reed Sea. This was not a marshy area that the children of Israel somehow managed to get across, but an Egyptian army with chariots somehow drowned in reed deep water. This was the Red Sea. God opened up a path on dry ground they walked through. You know, when you see God's path for your life, you'll see Him do some things that seemed impossible. Many times in the Bible we're told that He is the God of the impossible, who made the world from nothing, and there's nothing too hard for Him. And as you follow God, and you follow His way, and you trust His leading in your life, you'll see Him do things that people will scratch their heads at and say, well, how did that happen? And you have to say, it was God. God did it. Because that's the only explanation that's possible, and as a Christian you know that that is the case. The Bible says in Revelation 3:7 that God opens a door that no man can shut, and He shuts a door and no man can open it. When you follow God's path, you'll see Him provide a path where perhaps it didn't seem that there was a path to follow. There's nothing too hard for God. Realize this morning that God not only planned their path and provided their path, He also protected their path. He protected their path. What seemed to be a dead end, He caused great victory, but not only in that victory, He also brought about a great defeat of the Egyptians. He put Himself between Israel and Egypt. If you read what it says there in verses 19 and 20, we left off at verse 16, I think. Verse 17 says, Behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the picture? I mean, Israel is so afraid of the fact that the Egyptians are right there, right on their heels. There's no way they can escape from them. I mean, the Egyptians had chariots and horses. The Israelites were there with children and cattle, trying to drive them along and trying to keep them moving. There's no way that there could be an escape from the army of the Egypt without God's miraculous intervention, but God himself, using by that pillar of cloud and fire, went from before the children of Israel to round the back, and he stood in between. You know, when God was on their side, there was no longer any fear that the Egyptians would destroy the Israelites. To Israel, God was light. But to Egypt, he was darkness and fear. Why? Because his judgment was on Egypt. But his presence was there to brighten the way and lighten the Israelites. You know, I had to think about it when I was preparing the message and thought about the fact that God went between the enemy and his people. I thought, you know, isn't it just a little picture of what the Lord did? He took our judgment upon him, didn't he? He died in our place. He faced the enemy and destroyed him that had the power of death, even the devil, so we need not fear. We need not fear the enemy when God is on our side, because he is there to come between us and to protect us. Remember, his presence is unfailing. He will protect us. He slowed down the enemy. It says in verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians. Well, I guess we read that one. Verse 21, that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them. Isn't that neat? God took the wheels off the chariots. You ever tried to drive something with a flat tire, or push a wheelbarrow with a flat tire, or where there is no wheels? Wheels make life a lot easier, don't they, for moving things around. You tried to push something around with a wheel missing. We were on the way to church one time when I was probably about, 13, 14. My brother had an Austin Mini, the real ones, not the new ones, but the real ones. We were driving down a hill in Burlington where we lived on our way to church one Sunday morning. The whole family, all five of us, were in my brother's Mini. Anyways, 10-inch wheels, not very big wheels, but they were on there. All of a sudden we looked out and the wheel was going past. I mean, the wheel came off. We had to. That's not a good thing. That's not a good sign. That's not a good feeling to be in. You know, we had to stop, obviously, put the wheel back on. But God took the wheels off the Egyptians. Do you ever wonder if God has a sense of humor? Wonder no more. You read this and you say, you know, God just took the wheels off their chariots. Those Egyptians thought they were invincible. Can you imagine they were going after the Israelites when very evidently that cloud was between them? They knew that someone greater than them was involved in this whole process, but yet they dared to chase after. So God said, all right, I see you guys chasing after us still, so I'm just going to take the wheels off your chariots and see how that goes for you. God slowed the enemy down. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God has given us in his word the armor that we need to stand against the enemy, to slow him down, as it were, so that defeat is no longer imminent. Ephesians 6, verses 10-18 give us that armor which we can put on. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But God didn't leave it at that. The Egyptians said, hey, we better get out of here. And they turned around to try and get away. But verse 26 says, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. God didn't leave it at slowing the enemy down. God destroyed and defeated the enemy. They were all killed. The Bible says there was not so much as one left alive. Israel would never need to fear the Egyptians pursuing them on their journey to Canaan. God took care of them. God defeated the enemy ultimately. You know, the Bible tells us that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All those who seem to stand against God, who stand against God's Word, who stand against Christians, who try and defeat and destroy Christianity and destroy everything that God has done, including the very devil himself, will one day be destroyed. They will be not around anymore as far as to be destroying or interfering. The Bible says it will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Satan himself, the one who's walking about seeking whom he may devour, the one who we are told for this time resist steadfastly in the faith. God says one day he's going to be gone. He won't be there to bother you anymore. When you're following God's path, victory is sure and your enemies will be defeated. God protected their path. And just finally, in conclusion this morning, God was praised on their path. Verse 29 says, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Can you imagine what that was like? Now we have things that probably allow us to get a little bit closer of an idea. Have you ever been to those Ripley's aquariums and you can go through tunnels where there's fish on the side and fish on the side and fish above you? Well, the children of Israel didn't have it above them, but they had it a wall on either side. I don't know if they could see fish. But just like a glass wall, as it were, and a path, dry path, through the middle. Perhaps a million children of Israel walking through a path right in the middle of the sea. Amazing. No wonder it says, verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Chapter 15 is a whole song of praise. You know, what could Israel do other than say, what a great God. What a mighty God. What an amazing God. He opened up the way so that we could walk through, and then he destroyed all our enemies that we were so afraid of just a few hours ago. We thought certain death. Now they're dead on the seashore and we are here on our way to the promised land. What a great God. And they praised him for what he had done and gave him all the glory for it. And they sang that song of praise to God in chapter 15 that encompasses the chapter. I encourage you to read it if you have opportunity to this afternoon. God changed what seemed to be a dead end into a path of victory, and he received all the glory for it, and he was praised on their path. He was praised on their path because they saw who he was, and they saw what he could do. When you follow God's path and see what he does in your life, you begin to recognize and see his power. As you see his power, you just have to stand in awe and say, what a great God. What a mighty God. Bow before him and praise him for all that he has done for you. And by the way, this would prepare Israel for the next leg of the journey. Sadly, they forgot many of the lessons like we do as well. But isn't it true that when we see God do great things in our life, it prepares us for the next step? We're ready for the next part of the journey. God knew they weren't ready to go that shortcut, but he brought them through a great deliverance here to prepare them for what would take place next along their path to Canaan. God's path for Israel began with their deliverance from Egypt at the Passover. If they hadn't been delivered from Egypt, there'd be no path to Canaan. You know, if you look at your life and think about your life, if you've never come to a place of salvation in Jesus Christ, there is no path leading forward yet for you to the promised land of heaven. It begins with salvation. That's where you get on the path, God's path. Are you saved today? Do you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Are you confident in that, based on the promises of the Word of God? You can be. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. He took your punishment that you deserve as a sinner before a holy God. He took that for you. Believe in Him and be saved today. Christian, God's path for Israel was planned knowing their strengths and weaknesses. And God has a plan for your life based on His knowledge of you and what is best. God's path is one that He will provide. He will open up doors and opportunities for you as you step forward by faith. It's a provided path, and it's a protected path. He never leaves you alone. He's always there with you to guide you, to keep you in all your ways. Can you see the hand of God in your life keeping you from the enemy? God's path for Israel brought about praise. If you take time to think about what God has done in your life this morning, it may be a good opportunity to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in keeping me, in guiding me, in preparing the way. Oh, you may not have seen a sea open up. If you look back honestly on your life as a Christian, if you've been following God, you'll be able to see some amazing things that God has done for you in your life. Take note of them and praise Him for them. See, God didn't promise us an easy path. But He did say, I've got one plan for you. I'll provide it. I'll protect you. And if you follow it, you'll praise me for it. The question is, are you following God's path? Let's pray together.